Have you ever thought about when you are truly yourself or what it is being authentic? According to Brené Brown, authenticity is letting go of who you think you should be and accepting who you really are. But how does this translate into leadership? How can you be yourself and be a leader at the same time? You are now listening to the podcast Inspiring Students, for students by students of Hogeschool in Holland. In this series, we are talking about authentic leadership, where students sit down with different people inside and outside of In Holland who are in leadership positions. In these conversations, we try to find out what authentic leadership means to them and what it looks like in their daily lives. Keep listening to hear their stories. Welcome. So my name is Melissa. I am nearly graduated here in Holland, and today I am sitting with Manuela Damant, and we will be talking about authentic leadership. Manuela, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me here. Super exciting.
So am I. We've already had a pre-conversation, of course, but this is now real in real life. We even got to hug each other. It was so awesome. So I'm just going to jump right in.
Great.
And ask you, what does authentic leadership mean to you?
Oh, it's such a good question, as we last time discussed already, right? Authentic leadership for me really means leadership that comes from the inside out and that is based on what's important to you as the leader. It represents your values, it represents your strengths, it represents what you want to achieve.
Yeah.
And therefore it comes from a really deep and powerful place. And when you get pushback or people question you or things like that, you have a foundation that's a bit like an anchor that doesn't pull you off very quickly from center. So it's probably for me also a little bit like centered leadership.
Centered leadership. That's such a beautiful way to describe it.
Yeah.
Then I'm curious, when for you was the first time that you felt centered leadership?
Good question. I guess very early on I had the usual kind of attitude that leadership was something that I put on, like a hat or
right.
a suit or a specific persona.
Yeah.
So I would look around me and look at people that I liked in leadership positions, although there weren't very many around that I that I really thought like, oh my God, I want to become like them. But
yeah.
I probably picked bits and pieces of different individuals. And then tried that on like clothes, and some of them would fit me and the others wouldn't. So I think it was probably quite later on in my career, probably in my late 20s, that I really started to question, you know, who am I? What do I want to stand for? But mainly because I had these moments where I got pushback.
Yeah.
And then I realized I had to voice an opinion that I couldn't substantiate. Does that make sense? All right.
So
I was representing
yeah,
a value that wasn't maybe really mine. So maybe I was, you know, very outspoken and assertive or something like that. And then people would question me on it and I couldn't substantiate it. I couldn't say like, that's why.
Yeah.
So I felt I had this wobbly foundation.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I realized
I have a strong foundation.
Yes. I need to find what gives me the foundation.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is beautiful. And in the discovering of your foundation, what was the biggest surprise?
I think the biggest surprise was that what I thought were my weaknesses to a certain extent were actually my strengths.
Oh, do elaborate, please.
So I think that was something that I really, really had to learn. So, for example, I have been described as naive, overly optimistic, sort of like looking at everything from a positive side. Maybe people could interpret that as too lighthearted or things like that. And I always felt like, okay, I have to tone this down. I've become more strategic, more analytical, more theoretical, all these kind of things. But now I realize actually this is exactly what I bring. I bring this can-do attitude and this positivity and my naivety I've been able to really, really embrace, because naive doesn't mean stupid
right.
in my idea. Naive means you're open to possibilities. You're not yet set. You still, you know, you look at things with fresh eyes and
right.
go like, what's possible? You know, they're already closing it down. It's like, we've tried this last year. It's not going to work. It's okay. What could potentially be a way of achieving what we want to achieve? So, yeah, embracing my weaknesses.
Wow, I must admit that I have not heard that before, embracing your weaknesses.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, as you know, I'm a coach and we work in this a lot at Asqua. Every strength, of course, has a shadow side. So every strength comes with a weakness. So for example, one of my strengths is positivity. And if I bring in positivity to somebody who's just been made redundant, or their mother or father is ill, and I come in, oh, it'll be fine, you know, it's all going to be okay, that I might just outpace them. It might be too quick, too soon. So my positivity, of course, I ultimately believe that. I believe that we can move through that and come to a different place. But there's a need to pace others where they're at. So my strength has a shadow side. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning, I only saw the shadow side. That's what I focused on. And then I thought, like, that's not what I want. I don't want people to see the shadow side. But
so in that case, would you then not be as positive?
Yes, I would try and be more theoretical, more strategic, more fact-based, more mind-based, all these kind of things to counterbalance this. But they were not my strengths.
Yeah.
So I found, of course, I could learn it. I could spend time on it. I could do courses on it and, you know, get the flavor of it. But ultimately, it would never come easy to me. This is not something that will come easy to me. You know, project planning and ticking off boxes and things like that. That's not going to be where I flow.
Right, because it's not your authentic self.
Exactly.
Exactly. So then authenticity and then leadership, from what you've been explaining so far, is just leading from your authentic self.
Yeah, that's what it means for me, exactly. And sometimes, as I said, it requires us to peel off a few layers.
Mm.
So what might appear our authentic self, we might come to realize it's a mask.
Oh.
Or it's a costume we've tried on.
Yep.
Which looks good, which maybe the society likes or culture tells us this is the right kind of look.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it might actually require us to completely change our look, our feel, and take the mask off to become authentic. Yeah,
beautifully said, beautifully said. And I now realize that I did not introduce you properly in the introduction, because indeed, you have your own company in which you also coach.
Yeah.
But also specifically women, right?
Yes.
Women in leadership.
Yes.
And I find this super intriguing, as I am a woman myself. But I think for women in general, we are not often in leadership positions. And it's been changing over the years. Yeah. But like, why would you focus on women? I mean, I can understand, of course, but still.
Yeah.
Curious to hear your answer on that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think initially, of course, I feel very close to women. It's my story. Their story many times is my story. And coming back to authentic leadership, I think women in the past felt, again, like me, that we had to fit a certain stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
And leadership looked a certain way. And if we maybe look back even just 20, 30 years, many of the female role models we did see were what I would refer to women with very masculine traits, so very directive, clear, sometimes maybe even more masculine than their male colleagues, right? So, but the younger women we work with now, they look at that and say, like, I don't want to become a leader like that.
Yeah.
You know, they usually have a bad reputation. They're the mean women, you know, a little bit like the Devil Wears Prada, right? She's the perfect example for that. So women these days don't want to aspire to become that kind of female leader,
right?
And then we're looking for opportunities of what that is. And because I had to find my own way of falling in love with my feminine traits, right? So I had blocked them so much in the past, I had to re-embrace them within myself. I can now share them and show them the beauty of many of these feminine traits, which by the way, just to say, are also in men, of course. So,
authentic
leadership for us also means it's a combination of the mature masculine traits and the mature feminine traits. So a man and a woman will have a combination of them both, ideally. That's our plan for the future.
Plan for the future. Beautiful. I'm reminded of something that you mentioned in our previous conversation, where we don't need more men in skirts.
Yes.
I thought that was such a beautiful sentence.
Yes.
Because indeed, women in leadership positions often are seen as more masculine. And I have a few friends that are in higher positions or surrounded by a lot of male colleagues, and they definitely feel the need to be even more masculine and struggle with being in their feminine and being their feminine self, but then having this very masculine demeanor of, I have to do this and we have to do that and you have to.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's also something that I've struggled with. And I had a conversation yesterday prepping for this podcast where the question was, so what do you think about leadership? How do you see leadership? And for the longest time, I've never considered myself a leader until I really started thinking about it. And after these conversations and this whole series, I think I've been a leader for way longer than I've ever truly realized in how I go about speaking to people and how I want to manage them and how I want to make sure the team is together and we can do it all together. And then
very true.
It's just,
I'm glad you're bringing this up because that's exactly one of the things that we hear a lot as well. So when we talk about leadership in our squad. So we say like, you know, it's a women's leadership course, it's women's leadership coaching. And many of the women, they're like, but I'm not a leader. And then even there, like you say, like we start peeling back. But is that really true, right? Are you running a project? Are you leading a project? Are you having colleagues that you work with? And sometimes you are the one who takes charge of the work together.
Right.
Are you a leader there? Are you a mother? Are you a friend? Are you working in voluntary projects that you sometimes are becoming the lead in marketing, or you become the strategic lead, or you become the finance lead, right? So we are leaders in so many different smaller roles and sometimes in bigger roles, but it's so true. Many of us have been leaders for much longer than we think. But we just haven't interpreted as leadership because it didn't look that specific way we think a leader looks like.
And
it looks like that and doesn't sound like that.
Exactly. And it just comes so naturally as well. Now that I'm aware of it, I'm like, God damn.
Yeah.
I've been leading all along.
Yeah.
And now to find that balance as well with not looking at the masculine leaders that I know that in my mind is leadership and then trying to find my feminine in it, because I have also, just like you mentioned earlier, I did not embrace my feminine qualities at all. I felt very masculine and was raised to be kind of more masculine, coming from a single mother's household, all of that.
Yeah.
And now I want to be the feminine, flowy, juicy leadership that can still be caring, yet also strict when you are out of line.
Totally.
But it's definitely something that I'm discovering on my own. And I think it's amazing that you have a program as well where others can come and learn from, because in the end, sometimes it's easier to learn from somebody who's bumped their head a few times and have to do it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And I don't know if we talked in our preparation call, we work with archetypes. So mainly because in the past, many of us have not had good female role models, not because our moms and our grandmothers would have not been potentially fantastic leaders. But again, society either didn't allow them to take on that kind of role, or they were just not used themselves to have strong women around them, so they fell more into these what we call disempowering archetypes. So they would go into martyr and victim and express themselves from there. And now the empowering archetypes we talk about a lot. One of them is the queen. And you know, if you think about, and this is not the Queen of England or you know some of the drama
the queens
out there, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's this regal queen who knows what she stands for, who knows what's important for her in her family, in her team, in her project, and has really distilled what a good outcome would be and what her boundaries are, what she will say yes to, what she will say no to. And because she has distilled that and it's so clear within her, she is very clear and authoritative, but without having to be what usually termed as bossy, right?
Right, yeah.
Without having to throw her weight around and say, like, I'm just, you know, I can shout as loud as you or I can be as powerful as you. It comes from this place of clarity and transmission that lands with somebody else. And they just know she knows what she's doing. She's got this role. She's fine.
She's got it.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, and the same for men again. So when we talk about authentic leadership, authentic male leaders are also like that. They own all their qualities.
Yeah.
So they will bring, if talking of archetypes again, they many times bring father to work, which is a softer quality, but that nourishes the people around them, that allows them to coach them, that allows them to raise them around them, and they own all of these qualities as well. It's just not one type.
Yeah, I think for men as well. I mean, for women, it comes naturally to do all of these things, but then to learn the leadership part. And then for men, often, in general, they can find leadership easier, but then perhaps these softer qualities is what they struggle with, especially in a society where they're not allowed to.
Yeah.
And then now to find that balance,
yeah,
for them and for us, and yeah, then just...
Well, it's interesting, right? I always thought, I mean, you know, leadership comes easy, as you say, to men, but the more I speak to men, the more it's clear there's a type, you know, there's right, a specific type that falls naturally into this alpha directive kind of leadership style. Just like naturally certain women fall into this alpha female leadership style, right? But there's actually the majority of men who want to bring different aspects of themselves to work too.
Yeah.
And especially they get the next generation, I get the sense. They want to bring their whole selves to work and not just their mind. Right, they want to bring their passion, their purpose, the meaning. They want to work together with others. They want to look past external sex, race, religion, whatever it is, and just create a great product or a great service that serves the planet and their clients.
I am very excited, I must admit, to be living in this time period, to see that change as well, and to have people around me who want to go about business and career-wise and family-wise, relation, all of it.
Yeah,
just go about it slightly different from how we've been raised to do it.
Yeah.
But I want to circle back because you were talking about archetypes and types of leaders. And could you go deeper in what type of leader you are if you were to use your own archetypes?
Oh, that's a good question. We work with 5 archetypes.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, ultimately, what you want is, it's not like a horoscope that you're a certain type, right?
Sure, okay.
The way they describe this, and I've done this wonderful training with one of many in the UK, the way they describe it is like we learn 5 keys on the piano so we can play much nicer music, right?
Oh, wow.
So we work with 5 archetypes, and they are the queen, the mother, the lover, the sorceress, and the warrioress. So, and ultimately, we need them all at different times, right? So if the queen, with all her elegance, is not getting through, she might need a bit of a dose of warrioress to really rally the troops and make sure that their message is heard, right? But as coaches, we use a lot of mother without knowing,
right,
because the mother is unconditionally, you know, supporting the progress and the learning of the person that she works with or her children. Same with the father. The lover we use in coaching because lover listens deeply and lover listens with all her senses, right? So she will pick up facial expressions, bodily expressions. She will hear tonality, right? If you say like, well, do you like your work? And you sort of go, yeah. She will pick that immediately up, right? You might even say, yes. But it comes from this place of, I don't really believe you, right? She will pick that up. But my core, my highest core is sorceress. And sorceress is expressed in many, many different ways. But I love connecting information. So she sees stuff. And for other people, it might look a little bit magical because you just trigger out stuff out of nowhere. And for me, it's information and connection. So I love reading. I constantly have 2-3 books in my rucksack and keep reading them. And then I combine the information. And then people have questions in coaching and I'll just come out, this is what you should do, that you should do. And they go like, how could you know all of this, right? But I mean, it was years of learning it, but now it looks like a little bit of magic, I guess, to certain people.
I'm very curious, actually, to which one I would be.
Yes!
But as you're talking about all of them, I can resonate with all.
Yeah.
I've been... In my mind, I've been playing with this idea of being more in a queen-like aura and just the way that I present myself and in a way that I want others to be around me. And
nice.
Like, if you cannot speak to me from a place of royalty,
equality,
respect, all of it, then I don't want it. And I'm also just going to carry myself like that. And if it intimidates you, well, that's a you problem.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, then we can... create something beautiful together.
Yeah.
Whatever
and
that
whilst
is.
You're saying that, I mean, shame you guys can't see her, but you just, you sit like the queen as well, right? Your shoulders go back. Yeah. Your head is straight, your neck is in alignment. And you can see that when you talk to that with women,
yeah,
and men as well. The king is the same.
True, yes.
When you speak about the archetypes, there's an instant recognition, right? So when you say, like, well, the queen, what do you stand for? Many women then sit up straighter. Mm-hmm. There comes a calmness into their voice and an elegance into their voice that is fantastic. But, you know, usually I can sort of guess with my clients, but with you, I would seriously think you're quite balanced. You've done a lot of work.
I have,
right?
Yes,
so I can see that you bring in whatever's required in certain moments, right? So maybe it'd be interesting when you get triggered. How do you get triggered?
Ooh, when I get oh my God. She's asking me the questions now. When I get triggered, which is rare. Mm-hmm. I don't get triggered a lot. Because a lot of work, a lot of self-work for that.
Yeah.
But my trigger can come from my wounding of not feeling heard.
Yes.
If I feel like I'm not heard, or if there was injustice happening, and I can't seem to do anything about it, then I'll get triggered and I'll shut down.
You shut down. I just wanted to ask, what's your way then?
Yes.
Are you shouting then,
I'll take steps away from you. And I really had to learn to and take care of myself when I do shut down, and know that it's okay. My inner little child is not feeling safe. I have to bring the safety back to myself.
Yes.
But then eventually also, if it's somebody that I care about, which mostly is the case when you're so triggered, to also then get over myself and then reach out to them, be like, okay, so this affected me.
Yes.
And I'm not blaming this on you, but this is what's going on within me. And then it depends on the other person, how much work they've done, if they can receive what I am sharing with them.
Yeah.
But that's that it is a very interesting journey to have that interaction with people and see how they then respond to you, and if we can then come to, okay, I'm feeling a certain way, you're feeling a certain way. We're both gonna deal with our own ways.
Yes.
But then we can lovingly come together knowing that our relationship is still stable and that you are not abandoning me.
Yeah.
For example, you're not abandoning me, and I'm just feeling abandoned right now, and I need some love or whatever.
Yeah.
So instead of abandoning myself,
I
give the love to myself, and then ask them to be like, okay, can you, I don't know, if it's a close friend, can you hold me? Or can we do something where I can feel okay again? But it's taken a lot of work to get here. And I've been, like you said, with the reading and just acquiring all this knowledge, I've just been absorbing knowledge from podcasts to talk shows to TEDx to books to talking to people, because I'm just so intrigued by how human beings just go about life, and I want to understand them better, but also understand myself better, and then how to navigate it all. So when somebody comes to me, then I'm mostly, I can resonate, because I've been through my fair I've been through my fair shit.
Exactly.
And so I can resonate with you without having to be in that still in that space where they are right now.
Yes.
And I can express to them. I mean, we recently did a there's this workshop going on right now called Spark here at school.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first session we would very vulnerably share about something of our past. Mm-hmm. And I could totally be in the moment of feeling how I just felt so alone when I was younger, and expressed that to the people that was in that were in the group with me. Yet at the same time, I am not feeling it right now. I am not embodying it right now.
Yes.
But I can step into that moment and share it with somebody else, so that they who might be in that right now, can be like, wow, she does understand me.
Yes.
She has experienced something similar or the same.
Yeah.
And then that just brings people closer as well.
Totally.
Well, we are going on we're going on another part here, but
but that is also authentic, right? So
yeah,
as women, and again, I'm talking about women here because that's the most of the people we work with. Many times we shy away from being so clear and true to ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So going back to when you said, like, when I feel triggered, I will then sit with it, and then I will ask for what I need, or I will explain how it ruffled my feathers, right? But many times we don't do that because we feel like, ah, no, you know, I'm just going to upset somebody else, and now avoiders and pleaders come in and all this kind of stuff. But what it actually does is it brings us closer, like you say. If me opening up and owning my shadow side and my beauty, right? So it's both me owning my strength and my weaknesses actually allows us to see each other
And that brings us closer. And in any situation, any conversation, any collaboration, that's just going to be beneficial.
Yeah.
Irrespective of you're working on a marketing project, if you're coaching somebody, or if you're raising your kids.
Yeah. And I must admit, though, for whoever is listening right now, not everyone you can do this with, because there are people who will project their own shit onto you. And so then it won't feel safe to then speak to them about whatever it is you're going through, because they might reject it or they'll blame it on you.
Yeah.
And so if you have somebody who you can level with, then this definitely will bring you closer. But if they're not capable of, no matter what you do, even if you do all the work in the world,
yeah,
won't bring
but
you
that
closer.
Is even, I mean, it sounds probably a bit harsh, but don't you want to know this at the beginning of the relationship, right? So before you do this big project together, or before you start hanging out with each other and become friends, don't you want to know how deep you can take it and how much they can be there for you? Yeah. So if you want to live a life like that, right, that's so authentic, then I guess the people you want to surround yourself with need to be able to reciprocate and be at that same base, right?
True.
So, and the others, hopefully maybe one day will join you. I mean, I've had conversations with people later on. They said, like, you know, back then I hated what you said, but now I'm so glad you did, because it opened something up in me. So you don't know what you're creating through these conversations, right?
True.
And if not, that's also okay.
Yeah, for sure. And if you were to given a tip, or we're cutting that out. No, we're going to say it again. So our listeners are mostly students right now. And in a class, or once they graduate and they start working, you don't always have the choice. You can't choose who you work with.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's in your direct circle, definitely you can choose who you work with and see what depth can we go together. But when you're in a working environment, or even in a school environment where you don't always have the choice, how could they then manage to maybe create these relationships, or manage it when it's not possible and they have to still be in that environment?
Yeah. So what I hear there, and then this might be completely wrong, right? Is we get put into a group of people we don't know. And then usually, if we're human, we make assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be the pretty guy, the adorable, the smart girl, the whatever, right? But we usually start coming in and start handing out titles, right? Do I match? Are they, you know, do I fit into this group? Am I above them? Am I beneath them? Am I equal? So there's so much chitter chatter going on in our head that starts off like that. And that's where I would go and say, that's where you got to stop and get to know every single person first.
Wow.
So really go and have a coffee with them, ask them questions like we have today, right? You know, what do you like doing? You know, why did you choose the studies? Ask some deeper question as to who they are as a person, and you might see somebody completely different. So when we talk about masks, many of us have put on masks in as students, because it's hard, right? Being young, and you guys, I mean, I work with students sometimes in the Hague University, and we do a saboteur's assessment, and most of them come back in the top three, they have the hyperachiever. Hyperachiever is, I have to succeed. I have to be top of the class. I have to be the smartest. I have to be the busiest. I have to be the most beautiful. I have to have the most partners. Right. I have to whatever. We are achieving and measuring through that. And if that is the key person that gets triggered on the stress, so this is not who they are, right? But this is what comes out of them when they're stressed. And we all feel under pressure. So I think it's...
Under pressure.
Sorry. So I think we have to remind ourselves they are just like us. Ultimately, if you go for a coffee, you will probably discover
like
that these weird people, or these people that are so much smarter than you, or these people that don't
in
really
leadership.
Understand,
actually
might have more to offer than we think. And if we really want to go diverse, you know, if we really want to do diversity and inclusion and see that at the workplace, that's the way to practice, right? With the person you think like, not sure if this is going to work, right? Or they're not as punctual, or they're not as strategic, or they're not as optimistic, or whatever they are like me.
Yeah.
Get to know them. Have coffee, especially with the ones that you feel like, not sure about you.
I mean, all of them. But yes, I find this as an introvert not an easy task. So I have to go talk to all of them, but I do agree with you that by speaking to people, you find out that you have more similarities sometimes.
Yeah.
And even if you don't, then you also know that.
Yeah.
That you don't have similarities and perhaps you can't work on certain things together, but you might find something else with that you have in common.
Yeah. So, but if we talk about strength, right? People who are not similar to me, so usually we like people who are similar, right?
Sure,
because
we
get, they're easy, unless like meeting you, right? I'm like, yes, it's a fellow coach. I mean, I could talk for you forever. And yet the people who are not similar to me, many times they have something that I don't have.
Mm.
So especially at work, you know, maybe as friends, it would be awkward, right?
Because
what do you talk about if one of you is a Lord of the Rings nerd and the other one likes playing with Lego? I don't know, right? But at work, these two combinations might just actually make up for a fantastic project.
Yeah, you could be a good team because you have two very different ways of, I totally see that. How very interesting. Okay, all right. Well, I don't really have many questions anymore and it has been, been over half an hour.
We're going to cut plenty out, right? So, what's your definition of authentic leadership?
Ooh. My definition of authentic leadership, it's kind of similar to what you've explained. We did a whole preparation before doing the series, like me and the other, interviewees, viewers.
Yeah.
And for me, authentic leadership is indeed just being your most authentic self. Mm. And I loved very much, that's why I enjoyed our conversation so much, of leading from your strengths as well. And that's something that I've now been getting to experience. And just, it's taken me such a long time to truly, fully be my authentic selves. And even sometimes, I still have a mask if I don't feel safe. Mm. And I'm aware, most of the time,
Welcome
I'm aware
to the
of
club.
It. Yeah. But if the more that I've been creating the safe space for myself, to be as authentically as I possibly can, which is often I'm a little bit goofy and a little bit weird and and I'll have all these facial expressions and I might move too much and then people think I'm this very extroverted person, which I am not, but I seem like it. And that's just because I'm just being myself.
Yeah.
And when I am myself, then I am not quiet. I'm often not quiet. If I'm in a new setting, sure, I'll be quiet and I'm just observing all of you people.
Yes.
To see, okay, how am I going to navigate? Is this a safe space? Oh my God, I'm just realizing. Is this a safe space for me to truly be myself? Can I be myself without being judged, without being cast out or put on the side or whatever?
And we all do that. So going back to, right? What do we do? This is why we need to have coffee with each other. Because if we scratch underneath, we all do that.
Yeah.
We enter a new environment and go like, is this a safe space?
Yeah.
But then people like you make it safe.
Yes.
So we usually love the one person, right? Who's daring enough to be authentic.
Yeah. So, what I've loved also in the coaching and at the Student Success Center right now is when I share something authentically, then they feel safe to do the same.
Yeah.
So I've just now started sharing more and more with people close to me. I'm still not on the whole social media online stuff, but least with people close to me, I'm just doing my best to be like, okay, well, this is what's going on. Yeah. This is, you know, this is happening. And then even if it's something bad, it's also okay. So by me just sharing that with somebody else, and then you'll see that the conversation changes.
Yeah.
And then we can have these deep conversations, which is something I very much desire, to have deep conversations. And now I've learned that if I instigate it, I'll probably get it.
Yes.
I'll probably get the deep conversation and then be able to see if we can deeply connect on certain things. But if I don't do it and wait for the other, often it won't happen.
It will stay at a more shallow level, right?
Yeah. So authentic leadership for me is becoming now more and more just being myself.
Yeah.
And the leading part, apparently, I've been naturally doing it for the longest time ever, just not actively aware that I was leading people, but I seem to have, not to toot my own horn, but I have a little bit of a knack for it, and I do enjoy doing it when it's with a group of people who want the same thing, like with the Student Success Center. Like, we want well-being of students. We want to help them.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be like a very long answer to your question.
And it just re-emphasizes it again, right? You know the purpose. You know what you want to achieve with your team, with your work.
Yeah.
And because of that, you know, if it's I go lower, if I go deeper into the conversation, they can follow me. And even though it feels awkward, right? And yeah, the introvert inside of you might say, like, oh, I have to have another conversation and whatever. Once you go there, that's when you go into your element and, you know, they feel safe, you feel safe.
Yeah. Yes. So on that note, I want to thank you for this conversation.
Thank you.
Be less harsh on yourself. Amen.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are doing fantastic. And you know so much and you work so hard on yourselves and you really, I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Give yourself a break sometime.
Thank you for listening to Inspiring Students, the Authentic Leadership Series. If you want to listen to other series or episodes, follow us on Spotify. If you have an idea or theme for a series, please send an email to inspiringstudents@inholland.nl. We hope that you'll be there by the next episode. Inspiring Students is a collaboration between the Student Success Center.